This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's foreign exchange reserves. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent.
The foreign exchange reserves with the central bank, which is acting as a de facto trustee, is $611.89 billion. And the central bank is also liable to pay dividend to the government of India. The central bank intervenes to stabilize the exchange rate. And right now, with these foreign exchange reserves that the central bank is holding, the question is that what to do next? Will they diversify the investment avenues? There is a repo rate of 3.35% that the central bank pays on these deposits. It is also covering its external debt. So Sharadji, let's begin by understanding what is the strategy behind the central bank's build-up of foreign exchange reserves to the tune of $611.89 billion. They've clearly covered the external debt, which stands $563 billion.
I think a very, very comforting number for any Indian, I would say, not just for the government, not just for the RBI, but I thought any citizen of India who understands this should be proud of the fact that we today have reached a number 4 in terms of the forex reserves. And it'll be interesting for listeners to know that China stands at the top with about $3.3 trillion. Japan stands next at about $1.3 trillion. Switzerland at number 3 at about $1.07 trillion. And the heartening thing is that India is at number 4 with $611 billion. Of course, we've overtaken Russia recently, which is about $593 billion, and Taiwan at $541. So I think India is not just the fifth largest economy in terms of GDP, but India is also the number 4. And what is important, Arjun, for listeners to know is that what does this signify? Because an average citizen thinks, I mean, if country has collected over $600 billion, how does it benefit me? Well, we must tell them that it makes country stronger in terms of its economic prowess. It also gives the country the leverage to probably foot the import bill. It gives the leverage for people to use foreign exchange freely. Today, we know that under the liberalized remittance scheme, $250,000 each Indian each year can remit. And I think that big number per annum for each Indian came only because we had such a fantastic and such healthy amount of reserves. And also, Arjun, I would like our listeners to know the history is very, very interesting. In 1960, you know, we had forex reserves which were barely covering 8.6 weeks of import. Then in 1980, this is another very interesting fact, that India had forex reserves of over $7 billion and we were double the level of China. So this signifies that with the opening of the economy, with liberalization which started in 1990s in India, I think building up of foreign reserves is an outcome. Because when you open the country for the foreigners to come in, for the deposits to come in, for the investments to come in, this is the outcome. So it shows the pragmatic, prudent, rational approach by successive governments in all these years.
Sharad, let's touch upon the coverage of our external debt, which is $563 billion. We have sufficient foreign exchange to last us 15 months. That kind of insurance that the central bank is able to provide because of its reserves is very heartening for the economy. What does it mean for the exchange rate when it comes to the rupee to the dollar? About an hour ago, it was 74.61 to the US dollar. In fact, in today's trade, it fell by 26 paise. So what is really the tactic of the central bank? Does it want a weak rupee or a strong rupee in order to promote exports, in order to ensure offshore business outsourcing from the Western economies into ours? What do they want with a stability of the currency? Do they want it sufficiently weak or sufficiently strong?
It's a bit of a mix of both, because a strong rupee obviously, you know, makes your import cheaper. It makes your import bill, and considering especially the oil import, well, over $100 billion is being spent on oil imports every year. So the more stronger the dollar, weaker the rupee. Of course, we are already, you know, we are in the midst of extremely high fuel prices. And one of the reasons for those high fuel prices is a very, very strong dollar, because the rupee, as you just announced, the rate. So I think on one side, the country wants rupee to be stronger to keep the import bill under control. On the other side, there are exporters. There is a big export economy within our country. It is one of the pillars of the country, in fact, which looks forward to a weaker rupee so that it's able to fetch more foreign exchange into the country. So I think it's a very fine balance between, on the one side, where most people think that probably a stronger rupee is good for us. There is another school of thought which says that probably not very strong rupee may also sometimes be very good for us. So coming down to the forex reserves in this context, Arjun, I would say a healthy foreign reserve gives RBI, who's the manager and the custodian of these forex reserves. This also, everybody should know that RBI sits on them, regulates them, monitors them, collects them, deploys them, you know, so and so forth. So it gives RBI the leverage to keep the exchange rate under control. Tomorrow, if we find that rupee suddenly collapses for any reason, well, these healthy reserves, I must tell, will come to the rescue. And you will find that RBI is able to make those purchase and sale transactions, we call them as open market operations, OMOs, and it can easily control the price of foreign exchange. RBI doesn't interfere too often. But if there is a need, these healthy forex reserves give a very strong arm to RBI, gives a big support to the economy overall to be able to handle these major movements. And of course, the normal movements, day-to-day movements, RBI doesn't interfere because they happen because of the withdrawal of funds by FIIs, FDIs or FPIs, time and again, inflow and outflow of funds. But if there is anything exceptional happening in the economy or in the international economy per se, RBI would be ready to intervene with these healthy forex reserves. So I think that is the strategy with RBI having, you know, a strong arm.
So Sharad, you spoke about the central bank's intervention to stabilize the rupee to the dollar when it comes to the exchange rate. In the short term, the central bank has actually purchased $87 billion in the spot market in order to strengthen the rupee, which had been weakening earlier. And the RBI also has a tactic of selling US dollars in order to increase the strength of the US dollar to the rupee. So why has this been the case right now, purchasing $87 billion in the spot market to strengthen the rupee?
As I said, the country was in the grip of inflation, as we all know. And the prime reason for inflation, I think it's an open secret now, are the fuel prices. Knowing that 85% of the fuel bill is being footed from imports. So, and the imports have to be paid in US dollars. So I think a stronger dollar, I would say, increases the import bill, which further adds inflationary load. So and in order to control inflation, RBI made purchases to make the rupee stronger so that the import bill is reduced and inflation is kept under control.
So on the oil import bill, the government of India has now entered into term contracts and spot agreements with the U.S. suppliers for crude oil, replacing Iran when it comes to buying petroleum. Do you see that also as another move to reduce the oil import bill, or is it just a geopolitical alliance at this stage?
There are more geopolitical reasons behind that. The sanctions being imposed, sanctions being withdrawn, then the news of sanctions being imposed again withdrawn. So I think Iran and U.S. relations in the past have gone through a lot of ups and downs, and they are still not very normal, I would say. So when sanctions come on a country which is a big exporter of imports, I think this is what happens, because you have to make spot agreements. You have to make alternate arrangements, because if a country's sizable import is dependent on a particular source, you have to make alternate arrangements to make sure that. I really don't think that price is majorly affected because of these agreements.
Also, foreign portfolio investors have been buying into our securities market, equity and debt, and that's also leading to volatility in the currency. Is it making the tactic of buying or selling US dollars a little bit more difficult for the central bank at this point?
The central bank also depends a lot on the market forces. So it would normally not intervene under normal cash flows or inflows or outflows. Well, to understand this better, Arjun, for the sake of our listeners, let me list out the various sources from where, you know, these forex reserves. So I think it will help in better understanding of how the movements happen. Of course, you spoke about foreign portfolio investors. There are foreign institutional investors. There are foreign direct investors who straight away buy in the capital of the country. There are these ADRs and the GDRs, you know, the depository receipts. Then not to forget the export receipts, which we've been talking about a little while ago. And of course, along with that comes the capital account and the current account receipts. And another major source, Arjun, for the forex reserve is the postal order economy, as it is called in informal terms, which is the deposits made by NRIs. I mean, there are 3 to 4 crore Indians settled abroad who earn very handsomely, and they find their own country to be safer to park the funds. So I think it's a very dynamic situation at all times. It all depends on what is the level of inflows versus the outflows. So I think Reserve Bank has to very constantly, I would say this monitoring is almost 24 hours. So RBI has to be on a 24-hour guard to see what is happening with these inflows and outflows. And then a decision is taken to stabilize the currency, to whether to buy or to sell, or to just leave it at the market forces. I think once we understand the various sources, external commercial borrowing, another major source where a lot of private companies, you know, they borrow from abroad, and, you know, that has to be repaid also. In fact, there is a slight, with very few people know, there is a slight downside also of these forex reserves, because around 35% of these reserves comprises of external commercial borrowings, which have to be repaid as well, you know. So we, let's not forget that all that we have is not permanently ours. I mean, a lot of them has to move out from time to time.
But if you look at the payment of the repo rate of 3.35% on the reserves, what are the ways in which the central bank is actually ensuring that they are able to diversify the investment avenues so that, as you just said, that the percentage of reserves that are in the ownership of the government of India actually goes up?
We have to accept the fact that these forex reserves, Arjun, they are governed by Foreign Exchange Reserve Act. And without going into the legal jargon or without going into the finer details of the act, to make a layman understand that there is a certain protocol under which you can deploy these foreign reserves, you foreign exchange reserves. You cannot put them to, let's say, for infrastructure development in India. I mean, a lot of people, they come and ask me that with $600 billion plus of reserves, we keep struggling to, you know, find the resources of these infrastructure development, welfare schemes of the government, and so on and so forth. Well, we must tell them that these forex reserves are very specifically meant for certain very specific purposes. They cannot be used for usual common pool or common fund of India where you can probably start an infrastructure project. We have to reserve these foreign exchange reserves for those specific predetermined protocol driven purposes, which is why, you know, the doubts in the minds of an average citizen that with such, we keep talking about such healthy reserves, then why is the country struggling on resources, on the overall revenue? Why is the government forced to levy so much of tax on fuel? Why is the government not switching fuel from normal VAT and excise to GST? Well, the reason is because you cannot touch these $600 billion of forex reserves for common funds in India, or common pool, or common fund of Indian name. But basically, they are for very specified, very designated, very, very particular purpose.
The central bank is like a commercial bank of the government of India. They have a shareholding in it. The central bank is liable to pay dividend to the government of India. There is also the requirement of 4.5% of the reserves to be held as a cash reserve under the Bimal Jalan Committee report. So there is a responsibility on the part of the government and the central bank that the relationship is not abused in any which way, so that the requirements of foreign exchange are never lost.
A lot of questions come when people ask that how are these reserves kept? I mean, is this just one big locker where you have bundles and bundles of dollars lying? No, that is not the truth. These are deployed in US government bonds, in institutional bonds, and as high as more than 60% is deployed in this manner. Some of them is held also in the form of gold reserves. So within the foreign reserves, about 6%, I would say, average, are the gold reserves. So, you know, and government also makes deposits, you know, just like we make a deposit in a bank. Government also makes deposits in foreign central banks and commercial banks. And by the way, in case somebody is wondering that what kind of return does government generate on these huge reserves, you will be surprised to know that the return is not that great, because, you know, the returns abroad are very, very minimal, especially if you're deploying them in developed countries. So a return could be 1%, even less, sometimes no return. But the fact that you have $600 billion of reserves, which can help you in your rainy day, I think it's very comforting for the government, for RBI, and for the entire population of 138 crore people of India.
Thank you so much, Sharad, for being with us on this program and talking to us extensively on the nature of our foreign exchange reserves and why it's so important to actually build it up even further. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's foreign exchange reserves. The participants were Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.